Everything was so spontaneous. It just happened out of nowhere. And I'm grateful that it did. Sometimes we have ideas, you just got to go for it. No one is going to stop you. Apparently, everyone around me was ready to go for it. And we went for it. And it turned out in our favor in a good way. And I'm glad that it did.
Hey, what's going on? I'm Shuang Esther Shan, and welcome to Shopify Masters, your companion for starting and building a business. Having a viral moment on social media is amazing, but can you build a successful company around it? Today, I'm chatting with Karis Rogers, the founder of Flexin in My Complexion. Karis was getting bullied at school for her darker complexion, but her sister decided to empower her by taking her photos and posting them online. After their hashtag caught on, Karis launched her fashion brand and sold out of Flexin in My Complexion t-shirts in just under 10 minutes. Karis is here to chat all about turning negativity into positivity. Karis, welcome to the show.
Yes, I'm excited to be talking to you.
Oh my goodness, I love your story so much because your founding story is so important. Taking something that was negative and building it into a positive community that you found online from that viral moment and that momentum. Can you talk to us about how you were able to engage with this community and really grow this audience into the business that you started?
I feel like first starting Flexin My Complexion, the whole going viral, it happened out of nowhere. Nothing planned. Even starting a company wasn't planned at all. But even keeping the momentum up, it was like I was doing so much at the time, so many interviews, so many photo shoots, traveling so much that it was keeping us relevant in a way. And I feel like it was a good thing. I'm glad that it worked out in our favor like that. And just doing all that, I feel like it kept us wanting to keep going more because we were always so busy. And it's like, the more you're busy, the more you want to keep going because you're like, oh yeah, this busyness right here is going to get us somewhere. And it did. And I feel like consistency is key. And so keeping people looking at you or having creative photo shoots and doing things like that, it keeps people engaged. And I feel like that's something a lot of brands and a lot of influencers should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Especially that connectivity you have with the community, right? They're curious about what you're doing day to day. And I feel like by you sharing that, it allowed people to stay engaged and actually be invested in your journey as well.
Yeah, I try to keep people in my life a little bit, but I don't be showing too much because, you know, got to have some things to yourself that you can hold tight, like different memories that you want for yourself. But I feel like I do pretty well with keeping people engaged with me.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely that balance, right? You want to keep some things personal and special to you, and then you also want to share as well. So you have this amazing viral moment and you decide to start a fashion line. What did you do first to start the business?
Okay, so once I went viral, it was the next day. I was like, why don't we just start a clothing line called Flexin in My Complexion? And then we started it the day after I said that. And then it was a company literally in a span of like 2 days. And then it sold out in 10 minutes. So it was literally just don't know anything about having a company. It just started. And I don't even hear a lot of people tell their stories like that. A lot of people plan these things out for years, decades. They've been having these ideas. Me, no. I was 10. I didn't care anything about having a company. I knew what I wanted to do. Growing up, I knew I always wanted to be a business owner, be an entrepreneur, but I never thought it would be at 10 years old.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we all need to kind of channel our inner optimism, right? I think when we are younger, we have just like pure belief and trust, and we're able to have that optimism carry us forward. What were some of the first steps that you and your sister took to think about this business? Logistically, design, getting the t-shirts, what did you do first?
There wasn't a lot of thinking at first. There wasn't. So my sister, in college, she used to draw a lot of different paintings. So this was kind of her field on, like, doing stuff like this. So my mom actually knew somebody that made T-shirts. And he just helped us, and he gave us T-shirts. And then, boom, that was just that. And then my sister made the website. It was good for her first website. So she made the website, and then we launched it. Literally, everything was so spontaneous. It just happened out of nowhere. And I'm grateful that it did. And I'm glad. Sometimes we have ideas. You just got to go for it. No one is going to stop you. Apparently, everyone around me was ready to go for it. And we went for it. And it turned out in our favor in a good way. And I'm glad that it did.
Yeah. And I also love how family and friends all came together to really make this happen. Do you remember the moment where you got an order from a stranger from somewhere far away and you're like, wow, someone is actually giving their money and they love our design and they want to support our brand?
Africa, Australia, all those places I have never been. I'd be like, how do you even know my name? Like, it's just so crazy to me, like, all these different opportunities and all these different people supporting me. And it's like, it just came from being in this little tiny house in L.A. and one day having a company and just these little tiny ideas and just going for it. And so many people are being inspired by it. And it's like, people that say they're inspired by me, I'm inspired by. And it's just so crazy. It's still so real to this day.
Mm-hmm. And the orders come in, then there's more complexities that happen. You have to make the shirts, you have to have inventory, you also have to ship them out. How did you figure out the logistical side of things?
All right, so I was still going to school during this whole period, being 10 to, like, I think 7th grade. I stopped going to regular school in 7th grade. So we would be doing stuff exactly after I left school. We'll be having to go all the way back to Hollywood. I live all the way in LA to do interviews or go have meetings and stuff like that. So we had a guy that actually stayed at my house. He was in the garage for hours straight just making T-shirts every single day. And my grandparents will also be back there as well. It was really like a family friend business at first. And now that we're in the warehouse, it's so much easier to have inventory, create different designs and things like that. But we were literally just winging it, asking people to help us. It's nothing wrong with asking for help. A lot of people are scared to ask for help, but it's literally nothing to be scared of. When you need the help, go get the help.
Yeah, yeah. Enlist the friends, ask the family members who are able to step in and help with production. And then what about shipping? How did you figure that out, the fulfillment of the orders?
Okay, so we would just take everything to the post office and have them just scan things one at a time. And mind you, these are like hundreds of orders. These people were sick of us. It came to a point where these people actually knew us, like knew our names, like, what y'all got in for us today? How many orders we got? Even now when we go, we don't even go to that post office to deliver things anymore. Even when we go just to, like, go to the P.O. box. Like, hey, how's the business going? Like, dang, I remember it still. Like, that's how bad it was. We had hundreds of orders going to them. And they were like, you know, you could just give us a form and just scan this one little code and then, boom, we done. We were like, that makes life so much easier. Like, you know? But now with the warehouse, they do everything for us, so we're kind of chilling and laying back now.
How long were you doing the order fulfillment yourself before you realized, hey, this is something I can partner up with someone else and make this whole process a lot smoother, more relaxed?
We started exactly right after COVID, and still, orders are so crazy at this point. Thousands of orders at this point. And just that whole time, I'm like, why are we still doing this in the garage? Like, this should be dangerous. Like, people know where I live, so people can literally come back there and just take these shirts when they want to. So it was just crazy. So now being there is way more helpful. So many more people behind us, helping us with different ideas, keeping us on our toes. Mm-hmm. So it's way better now. So get the help, like I said.
Yeah. Obviously, you were in operation for a few years before you were able to take that jump and work with a warehouse and have a partner in production and fulfillment. When you and your family were looking into this partnership, what were some of the things you wanted to look for in an ideal partner?
Someone that had lots of experience. This warehouse, they've worked with people like her, Nicki Minaj. So, you know, they had the experience of having bulks of orders coming in every day. So we wanted someone with lots of experience, but also taking into consideration that we will be giving them lots of money as well. So I feel like we're investing a lot of money. And so it was just a long thinking process. Like, we got to get his people this certain amount of money every month. And so thinking, I'm like, dang, that's a lot of money. But like, you got to take the risk sometimes. And it's a great risk that we had to take. And I'm happy that we're still taking it and able to take the risk, even having a company that's been around for almost 7 years, because I'm 17 now.
So, of course, I love the fact that when you're thinking about these partnerships, you're looking at their past experience. You're also weighing the pros and cons of investing into this partnership. Because you were still in school, there were so many, I guess, like balancing acts you had to do. What's your advice for those who might be working full-time, going to school full-time, and they're also running a business?
Ooh. My advice would be don't stop. There was nights I had to do schoolwork, essays, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not getting this done, but I have to get it done because at the end of the day, there's things to be done. There's people that are out there wanting their orders, people out there that I'm inspiring. There's things that I want to accomplish in life. And when you have lots of things to accomplish and things you want to get done, there's a lot of sacrifices that come with that. Not having a lot of time to yourself, not being able to go out with friends as much as you used to. And so there was a lot that I had to take in for myself, especially being so young. And these were hanging out with friends is like the biggest thing. You know, This is my life. I got to go hang out with my homegirl on Saturday. No, on Saturday, I got to be in Washington, D.C. It was just so many things that I had to take in and just sit back and just be like, okay, is this what I really want to do? And if this is something that you really want to do, go on and do it. Because literally, you're your biggest enemy. You're your biggest hater. So when you sit there and you're the reason that you didn't do something that you knew could have been big, you need to sit there and reflect, write in a journal, or do something. Because something that you want to do is inspiring somebody else and it's helping somebody else's life. You're creating a new path for somebody to come behind you. The same thing you just did, maybe even better, but you're going to be proud that you did that because everything happens for a reason.
I really enjoyed hearing your business and personal journey, and we're going to get into it even deeper. I would love to take a moment to thank our listeners for tuning into the show. Wherever you're listening now, take a moment and subscribe to Shopify Masters and share this episode with a friend. And you can also leave us a review with some feedback for today's episode. Thank you so much. So the brand has been running for over 7 years and the team has grown as well. What are some tips for maintaining a healthy environment when you're working with your loved ones and your family, as well as incorporating those new hires onto the team?
I feel like we keep everybody separate. Every team has their own thing that they're supposed to be doing. I have multiple management teams, multiple agents, multiple different people that work for the company. And so when we have all that, I feel like it's easier to make different group chats. You know, everybody don't need to be blended. So I just feel like it helps keep everybody on their toes. Everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be creating designs. You're supposed to be sending out emails, you know? So everyone has their own different job and things that they're supposed to be doing. And I feel like it helps keeps everybody organized. And I feel like we have such a great team behind us. And mainly at first, it just being my sister and my mom, and my sister was really the one doing everything. She still kind of is, but she has people that can help her. And I feel like it's good to expand your team, but people that you trust. We ran through a lot of people that we was just like, so I knew that they wasn't right, but you know, my sister and my mom probably was like, no, like they're good. And I'm just like, nah, something ain't right about them. Something a little off. But you know, you're going to go through that multiple times. Don't let that one person stop what you got going on. You got to keep going after that. They ain't stopping nothing at all.
it's all about the fit, right? You know, someone might be a good friend, but they might not be a good person to work together with on a school project or a business. And you kind of have to figure that out when you're running a business. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that as well. Of course, over the 7 years, you have grown up with the business. And I think the journey evolves. Your community is also growing up with you. So how have you developed your storytelling or the brand as you've gotten older as well?
Great question. Because I haven't actually talked about this with anyone. Me and my family, I talked about that a lot in the house. The story is supposed to grow with you. And growing up, my story was starting out that I was being bullied for my dark skin color. Now it's like, what do we do now? Because that was the story then, but you've overcame that. You've grown from that. Your confidence is at a high now. Mm-hmm. What is it going to look like now? What am I like now? My confidence, my self-esteem is way higher. I feel like now I want my story to be more about self-love and being more yourself and not letting what other people say about you get into your head.
Yeah.
And now that I'm about to turn 18, it's like people still see me as the sweet, young, innocent little girl. And I'm still that, but I'm about to turn 18 now. And it's how do I venture from doing kid type brand deals and venturing out to doing more high fashion things and things I'm really, really interested in now. And that whole thing, I feel like I'm still trying to figure it out a little bit. Time is moving so fast and then I'm struggling a little bit, but it's okay because I'm going to get through it. And hopefully when I do figure it out, everything's going to be all right.
I mean, you're stepping into adulthood and I feel like your focus now about self-acceptance and self-love, that's something that it's a lifelong process that we have to do. So I think that theme is going to guide you to where you want to be next and it's going to be very special. I know that this whole business kind of started because of social media. And I feel like for new founders who are already stressed out about running a business, they feel intimidated to also run different social channels. What is your advice for approaching Instagram, TikTok, starting their social media at the same time of managing a business?
Stay consistent and do things that will catch people's eyes. People have short attention, anything. And I do. I know I do. So you need to do something that's going to catch people's eye in the first 5 to 10 seconds. Because when I'm watching something, I like to be very interested right when I scroll. And so a lot of things that catch my eye are funny videos or super creative videos that I see are very well thought out. And I feel like that's very important, but you have to stay consistent. Don't be afraid of your content because some things that you think won't do well be the things that do well. And I've learned that myself because I'd be like, that wasn't even that good. Like, those photos wasn't that pretty. Like, they could have been better. Watch that be something everybody like. And you just have to go for it. And don't think too hard on the content, though. Because sometimes people can tell when you're thinking too hard about it and you're doing too much. So don't do too much, but don't do too little. Be right in between. Find your mark. Find what your followers or your fans are interested in. Because everyone's algorithm are different. Be authentic. Don't take other people's content. If you do, make it your own. Because I might have seen that video like 3 videos ago. And I'm like, okay. I see what you did there, but make it your own. You know, use different sounds that are trending, different songs. There's new songs that come out every Friday. One of those songs is going to be trending. And just be very strategic about what you're doing, but be consistent.
A lot of the times I feel like people think that they need to create content for a certain algorithm or what the general public like, but by you understanding your community and your followers and posting the content that you enjoy and they enjoy, I feel like that's allowed you to actually grow as well and build up this community even more.
once I realized the things that I liked and realized that other people were liking it as well, it made me more excited to do it. The momentum of it is like, oh, yeah, that did good. Oh, yeah, I'm about to eat y'all up with another one real quick. You know, go back to the drawing board, do something cute. We have so many photo shoots and different reels in mind that we're supposed to be doing, and I can't wait for everyone to see them because it's things that I really like doing. I just, like I said, I love being in front of the camera. I feel like it's kind of my thing. It's been my thing my whole life. And now that I feel like I'm really, really confident to sit there and post these photos, knowing that someone was to say something negative, I ain't gonna care. And I'm glad that I'm at that point because I wasn't like that a few years ago. So I could definitely see the growth in me and in my followers as well.
Yeah. And I feel like there's also a diversification within the content that you post, right? You're sharing about your speaking engagements, you're sharing about your modeling, and you're sharing about your collaborations with different brands. So talk to us about trying out different content on the different channels that you have.
Being consistent with what you want to post in between, you know, you have a brand to post at the end of this week. You better figure out what you're going to be posting before you post this brand deal and right after you post this brand deal. Even in February, I posted a brand deal, but I didn't post after that brand deal. And then when I just posted something yesterday, it didn't do too well because I didn't post in between posting that brand deal. And so you got to realize when you peep little things, you're like, okay, I see what I got to do there. And now I know what to do different next time because I know what's going to be a next time.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the initial hashtag was on Twitter, and also a lot of businesses are experimenting with TikTok. What's your advice on those other platforms?
I like TikTok algorithm. I wish their algorithm was on Instagram. I wish they were the same algorithm. But, you know, it's not. Sometimes you got to figure out how to work the algorithm. And the algorithm changes, I feel like, every day.
Yeah. Constant reevaluation, constant reexamination of your performance to your point, and then thinking about what to post next as well. And of course, I feel like the beginning of your journey was all about sharing that vulnerability and sharing something that was very personal out with the public. What advice do you have for founders who might be shy and they don't want to really talk about a lot of behind the scenes stuff, but they know that it helps to actually build the business? How can they be a little bit more open or vulnerable with their communities?
Don't be afraid to speak. I'm not afraid to speak. I love talking. But that took me a long time to even get to this point. I wasn't always like this, being able to speak to people and being confident enough to even, you know, tell my story or still being sad about what I'm speaking about. You need to learn yourself a lot. Even therapy helped me a lot with being able to learn how to speak to people. But I have really bad anxiety. And, you know, a lot of other founders, CEOs, they have a lot of anxiety as well because sometimes they just feel like their ideas might not be as good or that their ideas, other people may not like them. And that could really give you a lot of anxiety and scared to put things out. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to talk. Don't be afraid to drop that collection. Don't be afraid to drop that company. Because it's going to turn out in your favor in the long run. Be consistent. Go ahead and do what you want to do. And even if you're afraid to talk, it's okay. You can do articles, do a little email to ask and see you some questions, you know, write that down. But you have to grow out of that at some point. Maybe doing fake interviews with your friends can help. I did that at a point where I was just scared. I was scared to even go up on stage and speak to people. But you know what I did? I went up there and did it because who else gonna do it? They wanna hear from you, not the people behind the scenes that are helping you with your company. They wanna hear from you, the brand of it all.
Love it. Love also the exercise of having those fake interviews with your friends. I feel like that's how I started. So, yeah. And I think a lot of our listeners are new to business and they might feel like they're not represented in a competitive industry or category, but they do have new ideas and they want to help solve a problem. What's your advice for them?
If you feel like you're not represented in the business that you want to get into, honestly, sometimes that's a good thing because when there's no one like you, you have no competition but yourself. And that goes into like the makeup industry when Rihanna dropped Fenty. There was no other makeup brands that had so many foundation colors as she did.
Mm-hmm.
She was her own competition. And look at everybody. Everybody trying to do what she was doing. You know? So now she the leader of the pack. So, you know, you just got to go in and go. And don't be afraid of what you're doing. Just go for it. No one can stop you but yourself. Those people that are doing it and you coming in with something different but in that same business,
mm-hmm.
girl, oh, yeah, it's going to work out real good, too. And that's something I kind of didn't. There was no one like me that had a story like mine that took that negative and turned it into a positive. There weren't 10-year-olds like that. There were 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds starting these companies that had these stories or writing these books. But here comes this little 10-year-old. She's knocking everybody down. So it's like you're your own competition. And at that point, I'm my own competition, even still to this day. So don't be afraid and go out and do it and watch everybody. They're going to be stealing your ideas. And you're going to be glad that they are.
Yes, love it. I love it so much. And I know that we talked a little about this throughout the interview where you've managed this company for 7 years now. And I do sense that you are at a chapter of change where you're thinking about what you personally want to do next and what you possibly want to do with the company. What exercises are you doing for yourself to help you realize what the goals are for the next chapter?
What are helping me realize the next goals for the next chapter is definitely praying. praying. When I feel like sometimes you got to sit there and you got to take time to yourself just to pray. Because I don't have all the answers, but I know there's someone else who does. And that's someone who knows what's going to happen next to me. And I just have to sit there to myself and just know I don't have to stress myself out about this 24/7. I just got to keep going with the flow and just see what happens next and not beating myself up because I don't know what I'm going to do with my life or that I thought I had my life planned out, but coming down to it, I really don't. And I don't want to sit there and mope around thinking about that all day. I just got to keep going. And when I figure it out, I figure it out. I might not figure it out tomorrow, next week, in the next year, but I know one of these days I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to get down to it. And where I'm going to be proud, look back in the next 5 years, like, dang, look at me. Like, I really grown a lot, and I was sitting there stressing about something. If you stress about something for these 5 minutes, and you know it ain't going to matter in 5 years, don't even stress about it. Don't even. If you believe in God, just sit there and pray. If you want to sit there and journal, sit there and journal. Write down your thoughts. If you want to go talk to somebody, go talk to somebody. It's all okay. Whatever your coping system is, go out and just go do it.
Have those moments of reflection and also look for ways that could help you to not stress so much. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Karis.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Such a great discussion.
That's Karis Rogers, the founder of Flexin' in My Complexion. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shopify Masters. Our show is produced by Gogo Zoger and Megan Coyle. Our engineers are Matt Shorts and Miku Betlem. Benjamin Gottlieb is our managing producer, and I'm your host, Shwang Esther Shan. Don't forget to come back every Tuesday and Thursday for brand new episodes of Shopify Masters. And if you're still listening, share this episode with a friend. Thank you so much.